The 2026 NFL Draft is officially over. The Dallas Cowboys stuck to what they needed to do, and they heavily committed themselves to improving that defense. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cowboys Talk. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. Let's not waste any more time. Let's welcome back the one and the only, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, Austin Rollison. Austin, how are you feeling, sir?
I am buzzing.
Well, should we start off by saying you called it as far as the first round goes?
Yeah, it went pretty good. I think we would have my prediction for the first pick was correct. My prediction for the second pick was not right, but I think I almost prefer what they did over what my prediction was, so you won't hear me complain too much.
Well, you know what's funny is, to get Caleb Downs, they actually made a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, to get Downs, we traded with Miami.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Right.
Up so, one with Miami.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because it seems like... Sorry, go ahead.
You gave up, what, two fifth-round picks? You had my number two player in the draft?
Yeah, because the headlines were saying that the Cowboys got the steal of the draft.
Yeah, for sure. Caleb Downs is my number two player. I think he's an instant impact starter. Caleb Downs is, frankly, just absolutely incredible. He can play anywhere and everywhere, especially that ever-important big nickel position. Well, all you old heads listening, think Darren Woodson. This your new Darren Woodson, someone who could play in the box, who's going to rotate a lot in and play nickel. He is your tight end eraser. You're going to go into a game with a tight end and you say, Caleb, just make sure that tight end doesn't catch the ball. That tight end will finish with maybe one catch for 5 yards, be completely erased from the game. He's that big of an impact player. You can rotate him in and he can cover safeties. I mean, all you need to know is how did Malik Nabers react when he saw that Caleb Downs got drafted to the Cowboys? The boy was distraught. He was bamboozled. He was baffled. He was scared. He was frightful. He was trembling. He said, oh no, I have to play that thing again. When Downs was a freshman at Alabama, he was actively calling out Malik Nabers' routes before Malik Nabers was running them. This kid is incredible. He is tailor-made for the defense you want. I want you to think heavy of like Cooper DeJean, like Seattle's big nickel, like Jonathan Stewart used to do in Denver. These rotating safeties that are all over the field. They're making tackles in the run game. They're making pass defenses. They'll blitz a little bit. Their job is each play, they're assigned to one guy, and that guy is no longer in the play anymore. That's who you're looking at. It literally could not have been a better player for this defense and this new defensive scheme with Christian Parker. And this dude could play linebacker, he could play safety, he could play nickel, all while being maybe the smartest person on the field at all times.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously I'm a little bit bummed because I wanted Sonny Styles, but he ended up being taken by the Washington Commanders, which, you know, I understand. It is what it is. It's business, right? But I still feel like, you know what? The Cowboys did get somebody that they desperately needed. So, you know what? It's not like the Cowboys crapped the bed. Although, believe it or not, NFL.com actually gave them a B as far as a grade goes. ESPN gave him an A. I don't know what Bleacher Report gave him, but I just noticed that all these different sources, they tend to give different grades when it comes to the draft. But the Cowboys, all the sources agree that the Cowboys did very good.
I'm giving Dallas an A+. They drafted Although they only had two picks in the top 100, two picks, they got one, two, three, four, five top 100 players for me. Five.
So,
and it took a lot of these players at 112, 115, and 116, by the way. So,
I mean, like we said in the episode, I mean, bulking up the defense was 100% non-negotiable. So the Cowboys, they did what they had to do.
The only guy that they drafted that I believe was kind of maybe possibly a reach was Shelton, the tackle. But that's just a pure, oh my God, this dude is a monster. He's huge. He's a giant. And he could possibly be a good swing tackle if he develops once Terrence Steele is done this year, that maybe he can develop into something. And if he doesn't, oh well. I mean, it's a fifth round pick, right? So who cares?
Well, if you mentioned that he's a monster, I mean, that's exactly what the Cowboys need as far as the offensive line is concerned. I will never forget 12 years ago when the Cowboys had the best offensive line I had ever seen. I mean, I want the Cowboys to build, I want them to have the Great Wall of Dallas, a solid offensive line that can block.
Shelton is huge. He's a much better pass blocker. I guess we'll skip. That's fourth round. That's just, so they're 112. Only one I think's kind of a reach. I think you probably could have got him a little later, but you don't have any later picks in this. So I understand the pick here. But Drew Shelton, better pass blocker. He's really good at mirroring defensive ends. He's lacks some power. He needs to bulk up a little bit. Got to get him on those peanut butter jellies and protein bar diets that all those NFL linemen are on. Have him bulk up a little bit. If he can get some power and he can continue to work really well on his mirror skills, he could be a legit regular starter for you on offense. That's a big if. He was pretty terrible in college. So he's not a good run blocker, but that's just because he has very little power. I'm sure Brian Broaddus, I haven't watched their draft coverage yet, but I'm sure Brian Broaddus is upset because Broaddus hates tackles with no power. Well, all offensive linemen no power, so I'm sure he's upset. But Drew Shelton was outside, one of the only players outside of my top 100 that Dallas picked. They picked him at 112, so I can't complain too much. He's definitely a high upside. He's either going to be really good or he's going to be really bad. There's not going to be a lot of in between.
Right. I mean, according to his pre-draft analysis, a two-year starter at left tackle, smooth kicking out to meet speed rushers and can do a good job riding them past the quarterback and pass protection.
Yep.
However, he struggles to anchor, locking his feet in the ground and holding the point of attack. In the run game, his output is inconsistent, and defenders are able to shed his blocks with his lack of play strength.
Yeah. Once again, it's power is his big problem. Anchoring power, defensive ends that can really generate a lot of speed and turn it into power. Think of like Reuben Bain, a guy who's got a bunch of low leverage and is really good at making leverage and causing problems, can cause him a lot of problems. He did, like you said, two-year starter, he got beat a lot. He got beat a lot by power rushers who get into his chest and kind of knock him off his spot. But it's one of those, if he can bulk up, you can get him bulked up, you can get him some power and a little bit of footwork technique to anchor down. When you're on offensive line and especially a tackle, he's really good at kicking out and matching. So they move a little inside. He's able to move inside. He's real quick on his feet. The problem is if you're an offensive lineman and you get that first punch in and your feet aren't set anchored well, you can get kind of bowled back because of how much momentum that's into that. And you see that a lot. He'll get that initial punch, but his feet are either too close together or they're not. You want your feet, if your feet are here, you're good. But a lot of times where your feet are like this, gives you an unsteady base and can rock you back. And that's what you see a lot of the times with Shelton, is he doesn't get his feet planted firm. His arms quite quite aren't strong enough to give a really good counter punch inside. And because of that, he can get bowled over a little bit from power.
Do you think Shelton has any chance of becoming a starter?
I think Drew Shelton is your starting right tackle next year.
Okay.
I think he bulks up a little bit. They work on his foot room. If there is a guy in the league that I trust to coach this guy up, it is Dallas's offensive coordinator, former offensive line guy. I'm confident he'll at least start a couple games. He might start a couple this year because, you know, Tyler Guyton gets hurt and then Terrence Steele gets hurt. It's happened every year so far for a couple games. So I would not be surprised if you saw Nate Thomas and Drew Shelton be your starting offensive tackles for a couple games this year. I think that'll give us a real good glimpse into Drew Shelton. Well, that's a competition to watch in mini camps, in the preseason. Is Drew Shelton versus Nate Thomas, who's going to be your main swing tackle. I think Nate Thomas has just so many more starts that he's probably going to get the nod there, but it'd be really interesting to see next year.
Right. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the offensive line continues to be a cause for concern. And like I said earlier, I'm really hoping that the Cowboys can have the once again, rebuild the gray wall of Dallas. You know, of course, a nostalgic remembrance of the offensive line the Cowboys had back in 2014. Yeah.
Well, their interior is set. Dallas may have the best interior line in football. It's going to be awesome. It's just your tackles are your question. I think Guyton will take another step. I'm not worried about developing at this point. I'm worried about can you stay on the football field. So if he stays healthy, takes another step, you could legit be on your way to having, again, an incredible offensive line. And if you remember that 2013-2014 O-line, right tackle again with Doug Free was your weakness. Doug Free was an incredible run blocker, but in the pass game, he got Tony Romo's back broke twice. But so you're on your way. Drew Shelton, I don't know if he'll be a contributing member this year, but this is definitely a future pick for Terrence Steele's replacement.
Definitely. So, well, we definitely got to talk about Malachi Lawrence. As soon as I saw that, I mean, I was pretty blindsided. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's quite a reach for me. I had a good 6 edge rushers higher than Malachi Lawrence.
Well, according to post-draft analysis, the first sentence of his post-draft analysis is, and I quote, "One of the worst-kept secrets in the NFL was that Dallas loved Lawrence, but would they take him at number 20? Well, they didn't. Instead, moving back 3 spots and still getting the player they had their eyes on, Lawrence is a speed rusher with excellent first-step quickness and the blend and a bend that... Excuse me, hold on. And the bend that allowed him to produce 20 sacks in college."
Yeah, I had him quite a bit lower than where he went. I had Armason Thomas higher. I had Romello Height higher. I had Cassius Howell higher. I had Mezador. I had Falk. I had TJ Parker all higher than Malachi Lawrence. All of those guys but Mezador were still there.
The Chargers took him.
I was hoping for Mezador, and then the trade down, it sounded like they were going to take Malachi Lawrence there over Mezador anyway. So I guess I'm not mad. Well, not only am I not mad they did it, I'm super pumped because they got one of my favorite players in the draft with one of those picks. But Malachi Lawrence isn't going to stop the run. Malachi Lawrence is a pure edge guy, super explosive. One good thing, the reason why a lot of people like him, he's a physical nightmare. He was kind of like, is he going to be a lower second round pick? Then he went to the combine and just tested like one percentile guy, just dominant. And then he shot up draft boards. Unending motor, this guy does not stop till the whistle plays. This dude, when the ball snapped, I watched a play where he took a snap, got bowled outside, ran across the line of scrimmage, cut back across the line of scrimmage, came in and got a sack. I mean, just relentless rush to the football. The one big thing is he doesn't really have it doesn't seem like he has a plan. You'll see a lot of players who have like, you could see it in their eyes and see it when they rush. They go, I'm going to do a chop, a spin and go, a dip and go. But Lawrence just kind of seems like he just gets in there and sees whatever works. He doesn't know what he's going to do till he gets in there. So hopefully, getting a little bit of coaching can teach him to kind of plan ahead, figure out what works, play the mind game. Rushing the passer is 50% physical, 50% mind game, having a plan, having a good set of tricks in your bag, being and technique. And the other half is just, I'm faster than you, I'm stronger than you. And what you're going to see a lot of is Malachi Lawrence just going against like Andrew Thomas, some of these other tackles, and just be, I'm faster than you. I'm faster off the ball. I'm faster to the edge. He could bend the edge pretty well. He'll probably play 20. He probably only is going to play 40 or 50 snaps a season, or like 20 snaps a game maybe. But they're going to be, I believe they'll be impactful snaps as he rushes from the edge on third down. I don't know. It's kind of honestly controversial. Some people think he's pretty okay in the run game, and I just didn't see it. I saw a guy who's so focused on winning this rep, sacking the quarterback, looking good, that oftentimes he plays himself out of the run. That's what Micah Parsons would do a lot. You'd see him spin and the tackle just push him out, and the running back would go right up his gap assignment for 40 yards. I'm worried about that. I think he plays himself out of the run game a lot by being too aggressive. And so I don't know if this guy is a first or second down player, but that's okay, because you don't need him to play first or second down, because I hate to transition and skip around a little bit, but we got LT Overton, who I think it is my favorite draft pick. I love Caleb Downs, but LT Overton in the fourth round at 137th, LT is in my top 100. Everybody who has my big board saw that. I love LT Overton. I think a lot of people are dead wrong about LT. They're saying he's going to play 4-ID tackle. I think this dude could come out and play defensive end on first and second down. He's not going to get a huge, this is the guy who's not going to get a bunch of sacks. He's just going to mark up pressures and tackles for losses. I think LT Overton will be Dallas's next DeMarcus Lawrence, where people who don't know ball will be like, oh, DeMarcus Lawrence is okay, I wish he'd sack the quarterback more. And people who do know ball are like, oh my God, DeMarcus Lawrence is incredible. And I think Overton's going to play a lot of first and second down. He's a dirty work player. He stands in gaps. He'll take on double teams and stonewall two professional grown men. He's not gonna get a lot of sacks, but he's gonna be the guy that pushes that right guard back into the quarterback. So the quarterback has to kind of roll to his right a little bit. And guess who's there? 6'4" Malachi Lawrence with those big arms, dips under and pulls him to the ground. I am so excited about the LT Overton pick. I know I texted Alex the minute they drafted him. I was at work and I'm sprinting through work screaming, we got LT. So excited about LT Overton. And I think a lot of people are really underestimating how important he's going to be. Some people are calling him the Osa Odighizuwa replacement. He's not going to play the Osa role. He might be able to like sit in there and play it every once in a while in case of emergency, but this dude's gonna play defensive end and first and second down when Malachi Lawrence is off, when Sam Williams is off, because you don't want either of those guys on the field when they run. And hopefully Donovan Ezeraku continues to get better against the run and he could be your every down lineman. But I am so excited for LT Overton. And I honestly, I'm full clarity, I'm way higher on Overton than a lot of people.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, getting that text message from you, I immediately looked him up. I mean, you know what? What's interesting is he was a compensatory pick from the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles deal is how the Cowboys got Malachi Lawrence. So,
yeah.
So I'm glad you corrected me earlier. So basically the Caleb Downs moving up thing was with the Miami Dolphins, as you explained. But yeah, the LT Overton pick in the fourth round, yeah, it was from a compensatory pick from the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, over the years, the Cowboys and Eagles, they've been doing some business in the draft. Apparently they've been making deals.
And I'm so excited. We got more Cowboys people to talk about, but Mekhi Lemon to the Eagles is the funniest thing ever, because Malachi Lawrence is like his big thing Mekhi Lemon's big thing is timing routes, cross the middle, slants, deep ends, all on timing throws, and that's the way he's programmed. That's the system he's built in. Guess what? Jalen Hurts' trash self never throws timing routes, slant routes, deep ends, like everything. Lemon's really, really good at. Jalen Hurts refuses to throw. It's why AJ Brown's gone, because AJ Brown's favorite route is the quick slant, timing insides, deep in routes across the middle, deep down the middle of the field, and Jalen Hurts refuses to throw it. So they're getting rid of him. They're getting rid of AJ Brown in order to get a smaller, less talented dude who runs all the same routes that their quarterback can't throw. I have no problem if you're giving them a complete opposite in the scheme fit they need in order so you can gain a couple extra picks.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that because the Eagles made the selection and he's a wide receiver out of the University of Southern California. So this Eagles sports writer basically said that this particular draft move effectively guarantees that AJ Brown is now going to be on his way out of the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely hilarious. They're getting rid of a bigger, stronger guy for a smaller, weaker guy who runs routes not as efficiently, but still runs all the exact same routes that Jalen Hurts refuses to throw. So great job, Philly.
So the Cowboys got the better end of the deal.
Oh my God. We talked about LT Overton. We'll talk about Devin Moore. I cannot believe in all of our mock drafts, Devin Moore was not there when we picked Malik Muhammad. I love Malik Muhammad. But Malik Muhammad, like we said, handsy. He's going to get a bunch of PI calls in the league. Devin Moore is legitimately, if he's healthy, he's maybe my cornerback number two. I mean,
Devin
he's
Moore.
That good. Devin Moore is huge. He's tall, 6'3", like 200 pounds, long arms. He's a big frame guy the Cowboys always draft. I'm pumped. If he could stay healthy, or even if it's like he comes in and plays half the snaps for Bland, because Bland gets hurt, Moore gets hurt, you kind of snap watch him, cycle him through. I think Devin Moore is an instant contributor to your team. He's not a slot guy. I was surprised they took him. They needed slot pretty bad, but I think they're kind of just going to say that the slot's Kobe Durant and Caleb Downs' job, and everybody else should shut up and leave it alone. But Devin Moore, if he's healthy, could easily be the best boundary corner on your football team.
Yeah, I was surprised, because, you know, I immediately did a little bit of the research, because I didn't even know who this guy was until I saw the Cowboys select him. And you mentioned a long cornerback who, and check this out, tries to use his size to jam opponents early in the route, which is considered helpful against smaller wide receivers, but he struggles to keep tight coverage if he does not get his hands on them.
Yeah, so Devin Moore is what we call a slant eraser. So this is why it's funny. Lemon's favorite route is the slant route, and the Dallas Cowboys selected with the pick they got from Philadelphia, the slant eraser. His literal thing he's known for is they'd press him inside and he would shut the slants down. Now, long crossing routes, things like that, those are problems for him. He's not quite fast enough to keep up with some of these really fast short receivers. So that's why he's so aggressive. He's able to press, stump people up, knock people off their routes. And it's all about disrupting timing with this guy. So when you're playing San Francisco and they're running those timing routes, the inside slants, the deep crossers across the middle, where it's all, we all seen this 100 times when Dallas plays the 49ers, Brock Purdy, boom, boom, throw, boom, boom, throw, boom, boom, throw. And it's that all game long. Devin Moore is the disruptor where that receiver comes off the line. He's got 2 steps. And then he needs to be in the position. That's something Christian McCaffrey's so good at coming out of the backfield, minimizing his steps and then taking his 2 steps getting to position. Because there's no world where San Francisco wants Brock Purdy to hit the back of this 2-step drop and have to start scanning and problem solving. So everything, when you get really good offensive coordinators, it's all about speed and rhythm. Boom, boom, throw. Boom, boom, throw. Boom, boom, throw. Devin Moore is here to make that boom, boom, throw be boom. Where's the other boom? Incomplete pass. Because he fires his arms in there. He fires his shoulder in, disrupts that play. So instead of Malachi, instead of Lemon or instead of Concepcion, who's going to be really good at doing that kind of thing, or Kittle or even A.J. Brown, bending in and hit it, boom, boom, and in here, instead of being here, he punches, and instead of making 2 steps to make the route, now the receiver has to take 3 steps. And that's all it takes, is that 3rd step to throw all the timing on the offense off. And then you've got Sam Williams and Donovan Ezeraku and now Malachi Lawrence. And maybe even if you're blitzing Barham, that quarterback's now on the ground. The Devin Moore pick is awesome. Devin Moore is my 66th player. And Dallas drafted him, at 114. What a steal. My 66th player, you got at 114. I could not believe he was there. I was at work. And so after the 12th pick went through, I had to sit down and go do something. I'm doing something. And I just assumed that Devin Moore was gone. And when I got the notification that Dallas picked Devin Moore, I was like, what kind of stupid people let Devin Moore fall? I'm so excited about Devin Moore too.
You know, part of me believes that the new defensive coordinator, Christian Parker, had a huge role in these selections. And that would not surprise me.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm telling you, I feel like as we get closer and closer and closer to the season, my excitement to see Christian Parker build a defense just becomes more and more and more apparent. What I'm trying to say is it seems like Christian Parker seems to be making an impression every single day, and a bigger one every single day.
Yeah, it is very clear that he had a lot of influence. And honestly, the guy that makes it the most clear of his influence is Jayshaw Barham, the linebacker from Michigan. This dude's just N'Kobe Dean, is what this dude is. This dude...
Oh, that's the guy they took in the 3rd round, right?
Yeah.
Out of Michigan.
When he first got drafted, a lot of people saw edge rusher and were confused, but this guy's not an edge rusher. This dude's a linebacker. He's not going to play Mike. He's not going to play inside. He's going to be like he's going to be a Sam side linebacker. He's going to be a lot like N'Kobe Dean and, who's the other stupid Philadelphia, the white guy, he blitzes all the time, whatever his name is, rotates through the box into blitzes. No, the linebacker. It'll come to me. It comes in the box, he'll rotate down and into blitzes. And then sometimes he'll come down and it looks like he's coming to blitz and he'll bail out. This is so This is such a John Fox, Vic Fangio defense thing to do, is to have the linebacker who can do this kind of... Zach Bond is the name of the guy that I couldn't think of. This dude is Zach Bond. And he's absolutely incredible. He's able to kind of rotate down, hit the blitzes areas here. And he's not great in coverage, but you don't need him to be, because he's going to come out. He's going to thump the run. He can really, really hit. He's a solid tackler. I think it was a bit of a reach there too, but again, you went from 92, you never picked 114. So I understand taking a guy you like in a position you like. So I'm not super high on him. I don't like these. This is the only pick that I looked at and went, gross.
And that's the Jayshon Barnum pick.
Yeah, but I've been kind of talked into, it's a position, it's a role that this defense really needs. And so if it's one of those things like, I cannot run my system without someone who can do this kind of somewhat competently, I understand a reach there to get the guy you like in the position you really like.
Yeah. Well, from what I see, the Jayshon Barnum pick was actually a pick from the 49ers, so I think that was a pick the Cowboys got as part of the Odighizuwa trade, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I will still miss Osa Odighizuwa. You were devastated. I mean, okay, the difference is you were devastated when the Cowboys traded him. Me, I was confused. I was like, you know what? The bleep, man. What is this?
Yes. I'm still upset about it. But oh well. I actually have...
It is what it is, right?
What was that? Sorry?
It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's business.
The Jayshon Barnum, I actually have as my 88th player. So not the end of the world, but once again, I think it was a bit of rage that you could have got him a little later, but I understand we need this position really bad, and so therefore we're going to just take him while we have the chance. Didn't want to risk it.
I mean, again, the Cowboys did in this draft exactly what they needed to do. They were fully committed to defense, and because you know how I'm always skeptical, are the Cowboys actually going to stick to plan on drafts? Because a lot of times that wasn't the case, but in this one they did. Now, there's actually, aside from Drew Shelton, and the only offensive player that the Cowboys took was in the seventh round. They took a wide receiver named Anthony Smith out of East Carolina University.
Yeah, this dude is a speed demon. He's just, I don't think he might have some, because he's so fast, he might have some special team usage, but I don't know if Anthony Smith even makes this roster. I think they ended up signing a couple. I think they ended up signing a couple UDFAs that I like better than even him.
Well, I think he's a replacement for a receiver that I think the Cowboys lost in free agency, but the name doesn't come to mind. Part of me believes he's supposedly the replacement for Jalen Tolbert, who signed with the Dolphins in free agency.
Yeah,
but as you said, riddance. I mean, his chances of making the roster, as you said, you don't see it happening, right?
No, I don't think he makes the roster. I think they have some UDFAs that are even better, to be honest.
Does he make the practice squad at least?
Possibly. He's fat. I mean, he's fast. He's really fast. Like, I don't want to discredit what he can do. He can get really downfield pretty easy. He's the kind of guy who in training camp, we'll see videos of him and Joe Milton. Joe Milton just throwing fucking rocket balls downfield, and him running behind backup corners and catching it. And every weirdo who doesn't know football, who just watches highlights on Facebook, be like, this guy's going to be the new George Pickens. Look at him. He's catching every ball. And it's like, yeah, of course, they're only showing you what they want to show you. And those are like third string corners. And Joe Milton had one of the best deep balls in the league. So, okay. But they did get Jordan Hudson, is at UDFA from SMU. I think he's got a better chance of making the roster. I like Jordan Hudson a lot.
Yeah, we definitely got to take a look at the unrestricted free agents. I'm glad you brought that up. And obviously, after this, we got to talk about George Pickens, and there's actually something else we'll have to talk about as well. But we'll get to that. Well, Kevontae Turpin is still on the team, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but you know, we expect him to be used primarily as the return specialist. But
Turpin should be your return specialist.
Yeah, and you mentioned the receiver you just mentioned, that's Jordan Hudson, right, out of SMU.
Yeah, SMU. I like Jordan Hudson a lot.
A graduate of Garland High School, and Garland's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm actually familiar with Garland. Spent two seasons of his collegiate career at Texas Christian University before transferring to SMU. Now check this out. Now how interesting is that? You start your career at TCU to transfer to SMU. So literally, he went across town. TCU's in Fort Worth, Dallas, SMU's in Dallas. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of TCU fans would have something to say. But you know what? Sometimes a player's got to do what a player's got to do. I mean, you see players go from OU to UT, or I'm sure it's happened before. But, you know, I just find it interesting how, you know, you start out at TCU, you transfer to SMU. But I think Jordan Hudson is definitely an undrafted free agent that the Cowboys signed that I'm actually excited about, and I'm really hoping and praying that he makes the team. There's also the tight end out of TCU, DJ Rogers, as well. They actually got two tight ends. They got a tight end out of Baylor as well.
Michael Trigg will be the starting tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. That's my bold prediction.
Say that again, because we got to note it, Austin.
Michael Trigg will have more starting snaps than Jake Ferguson by the end of the year.
All right. It's been noted, ladies and gentlemen.
Michael Trigg will finish the year with over 500 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns.
All right. And does DJ Rogers make the team?
No.
that's unfortunate. Well, you know what? If he at least
this team has a weird obsession with Schoonmaker and Brevin Spanford. So I would not be surprised if this team carries 5 tight ends, which would be insane. But the way they want to run the football this year, I would not be surprised. I love Trigg. I cannot believe Trigg was my number one undrafted free agent available. I have a 4th round grade on Michael Trigg. Michael Trigg can block, but most importantly, Michael Trigg is Calvin Johnson at tight end. He's not obviously not as talented as Michael. He's not as talented as Calvin Johnson, but it's the same mindset of, oh my God, the pocket's collapsing. Close your eyes. Screw it. Trigg's down there somewhere, and he'll moss 3 guys and catch the ball. I think if there's going to be a guy who gets cut, it's probably Schoonmaker. And I think a combo of Michael Trigg, Brevin Spanford, and Jake Ferguson if that's what happens, my bold prediction for next year is that Dallas will have more passing yards to tight ends, just their tight ends, than any other team in the league.
Well, if the tight ends are able to get open, and if the receivers are heavily marked and the tight ends are open, then you know what? If that's the predicament you're in, then so be it. But other than that, the Cowboys got a couple of they did get a defensive tackle, Kevin Gilliam, and I hope I'm saying it correctly, Kevin Gilliam out of Virginia Tech. And what's interesting about this defensive tackle, he played 3 years out of the University of Oklahoma before he transferred to Virginia Tech for his final 2 seasons, made a combined 69 tackles and 3 tackles for a loss. I'm guessing that's in his 2 seasons at Virginia Tech. And they also got a couple more offensive line, one out of Kentucky, one out of Baylor, along with two defensive tackles from Kansas and a linebacker out of Vanderbilt. And there was also a wide receiver out of Georgia Southern.
I think I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Shize Pete, the tackle from Kentucky, I think he is from Jamaica, and I think he might be international player program, so he might make the roster, the practice squad, just off that. But he's going to play guard, not tackle, probably. I'm not going to lie, Sydney Fugar, Tommy Dunn, I don't know anything about these guys. I didn't watch them.
Actually looking at this guy right now. Go ahead. What was that?
I didn't watch him. I don't have the. I know Zach Switzer just because what a nepo baby. Zach Switzer was at Presbyterian. He's terrible at football, but Barry Switzer is his grandpa, so you can imagine how that conversation went.
Shias Pete is actually Native American.
Oh,
He's from Montana. He's from Montana, okay. I believe.
One of these guys on here, maybe it's Sydney Fugar. One of the offensive linemen is from Jamaica and can qualify for the international player program, which gives you an extra practice squad roster spot.
Right. But speaking of Shias Pete, started his career at New Mexico State before he transferred. Yeah, at this point, it happens more often. I mean, a lot of players, you know, they transfer because, you know, they got to do what they got to do. But, yeah, Shias Pete, 6'8", 309 pounds, a huge left tackle that started in 12 games for the Wildcats last season after he spent the previous four seasons at New Mexico State. And Cowboys offensive line coach Connor Riley was in attendance for Kentucky's Pro Day, where Pete worked out in front of NFL personnel.
Yeah, these are all mostly camp bodies. I think everyone here is probably a camp body who probably doesn't even make the roster. I hope Jordan Hudson does, but we'll see. The receiver room is even more packed because Dallas just signed, Darius Hayward Bay. It's not Darius Hayward Bay.
No. Darius Hayward Bay. I remember that player very well, actually. Former Oakland Raider.
Unsure why my brain said Darius Hayward Bay.
Played at the University of Maryland. As a matter of fact, in 2009 on Thanksgiving, Cowboys versus Raiders, that's where Darius Hayward Bay scored his first touchdown, and I was there, and that was a beautiful touchdown that he caught. But there's also another player I didn't mention. As far as undrafted free agent that the Cowboys signed is a running back, Dominic Richardson, out of the University of Tulsa. Spent time at Oklahoma State and Baylor before playing a final season at Tulsa.
That's another camp body. Maybe you can see this could be hard for him to battle out a roster spot with how many running backs are already here.
Right.
But that Dallas just signed today Marquise Valdes-Scantling, not Darius Hayward Bay. Marquise Valdes-Scantling. So that's almost that's probably a camp body, but you never know. These older rookie receivers, sometimes Dallas goes, oh, what about Randall Cobb? puts Randall Cobb on the roster. So
yeah, 2019.
There's a lot of receivers now. There's a lot of receivers, not a lot of receiver spots. Because the guys you already know are guaranteed to be on this team, Lamb, Pickens, Flournoy, are all guaranteed. That's three. So it's a jumbled room. We'll see how it plays out.
Right. Well, so there's two more things, but we got to get this one out of the way. And I am justified, and this is involving George Pickens. Because apparently, from what I understand, he is yet to sign the franchise tag.
Yeah, apparently he still plans to do it, he just hasn't done it yet. That's kind of that just screams they're not trading him, so thank God.
Okay, well, thank God, but... And again, it's not like there's been any reports that there's bad blood. So I'm guessing he just hasn't signed it yet. Maybe he's probably taking care of other things. He's probably doing some workouts.
The report today is that the Cowboys do not expect to work out a long-term deal ever.
Hmm.
So the news today was it seems like this will be Pickett's last year in Dallas unless some things really change.
So the Cowboys could trade him anytime. So once he signs the tag, the Cowboys could trade him at any time.
Yeah, before the trade deadline. But I don't see why you would.
Yeah, obviously, before the trade deadline, yeah.
This team is in a... It's time to win football games. Like, this is the year. This needs to be the year.
This is the year. Oh, my God.
This has to be it. If you don't do it this year, it's done. Your Dak Prescott window is closed. If you don't do it this year. Someone call Leighton. Tell him risk permanent paralysis. We need the Wolf Hunter back. Someone, while you're at it, call Ken Norton Jr. He's like 45, but he could probably play better inside linebacker than half these guys on the roster anyway.
Yeah.
But D winners, we'll see.
It's been 30 freaking years.
I've heard a lot of really great things about D winners. So hopefully, I mean, he's 5'11", 227. I heard a lot of good things about D winners. I have been really sat down and looked, but I'm still really concerned. I don't think you have a real green dot leader in that linebacker room. Someone you've really missed since Leighton is gone.
Well, the D winners, he was, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, the Cowboys traded a fifth round draft pick for him. I think the Cowboys got a good deal out of it, to be honest.
Deal, smoking deal. There's not a linebacker available in the fifth round as good as D Winners.
I mean, D Winners, I mean, his story is interesting. He was a 3-star recruit. He was ranked the 87th best player in the great state of Texas. He actually committed to TCU over the likes of Arkansas, Arizona State, and Texas Tech. He was originally recruited as a safety, but his position was quickly changed to linebacker once he arrived at TCU, which is actually about 20-30 minutes from me right now. It's right down the road, but you know, the traffic kind of makes it feel like it's longer. But D Winters was drafted in the sixth round back in 2023 by the San Francisco 49ers. So, and he's actually, you know, he's in 2022. Well, okay, I'm actually looking at his college stats. I'm looking at the NFL stats. Last season, he played, he started a total of 17 games.
Yeah, so. he filled in while, the best linebacker in football.
So the Cowboys have actually been making some very, very interesting moves.
This defense should be much, 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 much better.
and Austin emphasizes should. So yeah, Austin says the Cowboys defense should be better, but the question is, will they be better? Because on paper. The Cowboys have a monster defense, but mind you, that is on paper.
You have the best. So theoretically, you have the best defensive tackle in football. Shut up. If you don't think so, I'll fight you. Quinn Williams is my boy. I'm so pumped we got him. I don't think I was on the show after that happened, but I'm literally screaming at the top of my lungs, so excited. And for a first and a second, holy God. And theoretically we should see, Donovan Ezeraku kind of take another step forward, hopefully get back to who he was at the beginning of the year. As the year went on, he got better and better. So hopefully that continues. Kenny Clark. He's just going to be there and eat up. LT Overton's going to help you continue to be one of the better run defenses in the league. Dear God in heaven, we pray for Demarion Overshown's kneecaps. Please protect his kneecaps, God. We can't have another ACL tear. We can't. Please, God. Overshown could be so good if his kneecaps just stay together. So hold the kneecaps together. Hopefully, we get a Deron Bland rebirth. Now that he's healthy, Savone Rebel, another year after that ACL, Javonte Williams is more proof that it takes a year plus, like take two, give them 2 years to figure it out after the ACL tear to find out they're any good. Denver didn't do it. Thank you, Denver. And hopefully Savone Rebel now in his second year after that ACL tear, that he'll be back and as good as we thought he would be. And, you know, Caleb Downs is incredible. So Caleb Downs will be there, and Malik Hooker and who's left? Marquise Bell, Donovan Wilson. Malik Hooker, hopefully he's healthy, and just by that, you should be a better team. I still would like this team to go out and trade for another linebacker.
Right.
I want a captain to stand in the middle of defense and make play calls. I mean, I'm still really worried. This team could not line up last year. They couldn't line up. They didn't know where to go.
They didn't even know how to play football. But there's one more important topic, Austin, and that is a signing. Well, I don't know if signing is the right word, but the Cowboys were able to extend Brandon Aubrey. I think it's a 4-year, $28 million deal.
$7 million a year. It's the most guaranteed ever to a kicker.
He earned it.
Yeah, for sure. Deal. $7 million? Deal. Deal. Thank you. Big thing is this frees up a franchise tag next year, too. So you can just franchise tag Pickens again if he wants to not work out a deal. So,
well, so I'm glad I actually mentioned the Brandon Aubrey deal. But there's one last thing. I mean, people are still asking me because everybody knows I was really hoping that Trey Hendrickson would end up in Dallas, but that didn't happen. He instead went to Baltimore, and then, you know, all these Cowboy fans that were really, I mean, after the whole Max Crosby thing got reversed, all these Cowboy fans that were calling for Max Crosby to be traded to Dallas, I was just sitting there shaking my head. I'm like, no. I mean, Max Crosby's a great player, there's no doubt, but the Cowboys shouldn't take that chance.
I'd do it. I'd send you first-round pick next year right now.
Yeah, but we got to talk about the fact, like, because you know the whole story that he failed at physical. I'm kind of like, well,
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think that was on purpose.
Well, he was a couple months off of surgery. Of course, he was not able to pass.
I think he saw all the good players that the Raiders were getting and was like, I don't want to fucking go to the Baltimore Ravens and failed his physical on purpose.
And I love how you said you're not a conspiracy theorist.
Not a conspiracy theorist, but I think this one was on purpose. I just know because I do that.
Well, at this point, it's irrelevant.
Lamar, my knee hurts, bro. Yeah. My knee hurts so bad right now. What do you say? Yeah, my knee hurts. Oh, go home. Okay, see you later. I'm going back to Las Vegas. It's just right that he's a Raider. He is a Raider. You look at him, you go, that's a Raider. I get why he stayed. I get it.
Right. Yeah, honestly, believe it or not, it's best for both Max Crosby and for the Las Vegas Raiders. So
I just feel sorry for Joe Burrow. Now he's got Myles Garrett and Hendricks and TJ Watt.
Right.
He's got to play those guys six times a year. Mm-hmm. With no offensive line. Did Cincinnati draft an offensive lineman? Nope.
Oh my God. But
they're going to break Joe Burrow and be so mad.
The Cowboys did it. I think they did a very solid job in the draft. I have to admit, I'm very impressed. And I'm more optimistic than I am skeptical. So now what we keep an eye out on is there's obviously rookie mini camp and then everything. I mean, training camp is not until late in the summer. So believe it or not, the preseason, it might seem like it's at least, what is it, like 3 months away? It's only going to fly by. So it feels more like it's a month and a half away. But I think the Cowboys did a solid job. And Austin, you want to give your final grade for the Cowboys?
An A-.
A-, okay.
You got my number two player at 11. You got five top 100 players. Incredible job. Hell yeah, get her done.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Cowboys Talk is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So what Austin and I need you to do is to hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way we both know for sure that you will not be missing out on any exciting upcoming content, especially for upcoming content, which Austin will gladly take part in because, ladies and gentlemen, Austin is a huge part of Cowboys Talk, and if you enjoy having Austin on the show, well, my advice to you is simply this: get used to it. Austin, thank you so much for coming on, and I cannot wait to do it again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you are welcome, and we'll see y'all next time. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.